The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
Dr. Brittany Dean.
Good afternoon, Bass.
Hi.
I'm not in studio today, but of course we still have a very fun segment planned. And of course, I hope everybody had a good weekend. We had a health fair this weekend in Eastgates Mall. And of course, myself, the lunchtime doctor, was there, and the doctor's journal as well. It was a really good turnout. It was so nice to see so many people prioritizing their health. So it wasn't really a stress-free weekend for me, but of course it was an enjoyable one. So I hope you had a great weekend as well.
Wonderful. Yes, wonderful. Very productive weekend. So what is our topic? What are we talking about today?
So today we are talking about an important topic. We've mentioned it in the past, but we haven't really stressed on it. And I thought it was very important to stress on it because so many people experience peripheral arterial disease and they don't even know it. So it is something that is very overlooked. And just to introduce it a little bit, because it may be something that people are like, well, what is that? What is this condition? I've never heard about this. But so many people, because they have underlying conditions, actually suffer with something called peripheral arterial disease. And just to break it down, of course, we have arteries all over our bodies. Arteries supply blood to every part of our body. It is necessary for us to have these arteries so we can get the blood, so we can get the oxygen to all these places. Now, peripheral arterial disease talks about the arteries in our peripheries, so in our arms, in our legs, etc. But when we're talking about peripheral arterial disease, it's usually this circulatory problem, so a problem in our blood circulation. And what happens is that these arteries become narrowed and they reduce the blood flow to our arms, our legs, but it's most often affecting our legs. So basically, it's the same sort of event that takes place in our heart when we get a heart attack, or if somebody's getting chest pain, etc. It's because we have some sort of blockage in the arteries, so we're not getting enough oxygen to these places that need it. So it is definitely something that I thought was very important to bring up today, because a lot of people actually have the risk factors for this and they don't even know, or they're getting their leg pains and they don't know why. So it is definitely something I think that we need to stress on, something I need the listeners to hear and think about, well, maybe I may be suffering with this and I should go and get myself checked out.
All right, definitely. And while we're at our topic, folks, feel free to call us up on any of your other medical issues or questions you may have at 627-3223, 625-2257. You could also WhatsApp us at 306-1065, or feel free to message our other frequencies and they will send your questions right to us. So what are some of the primary causes and risk factors associated with the PAD?
Right. So, of course, we always say that inflammation is the root of all evil, right? And the primary cause, I would say, of this peripheral arterial disease is what we call atherosclerosis, or in very simple terms, plaque buildup within our arteries. And what we found is that, of course, yes, the plaque can build up, but it's really that inflammation surrounding this plaque buildup that is causing so much problems within our artery walls. And what tends to happen is that the things that we eat, the things that we do in our daily life, all of this contributes to plaque buildup. And this is why it's important to check your cholesterol. This is why it's important to check your blood pressure and important to check your glucose levels as well, because some of the major risk factors that we see would include things like smoking, diabetes, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, obesity, and lifestyle. And what is funny is that we are seeing these things causing peripheral arterial disease, but these are the same risk factors that are causing heart attacks or that are causing strokes even. So it falls into sort of the same category. And I want our listeners to understand that it does not mean that because you're a smoker, you're only predisposed to a heart attack, or you're only predisposed to to a stroke. No, it's not just that. You are also predisposed to peripheral arterial disease and other diseases as well. So there are other risk factors, of course, that we discussed, things like age. So as you get older, you are at more, you are at a higher risk of getting peripheral arterial disease or heart attacks or strokes. And all of these kind of fall into the same category. So the family history, the genetic factors, all these things do play a role. But it is not as, I would not say not as important, but it's really the smoking or the lifestyle factors that we're seeing causing these problems and actually causing these complications. So it's really important for us to hone in on what your risk factors are. And this is why it's important for us to do a thorough medical history and physical examination of you, especially when we are suspecting something like peripheral arterial disease.
All right, and can you describe some of the most common symptoms of PAD and what people should be aware of and look for?
Right, so this is where a lot of people are going to have that aha moment, because yes, you may be diagnosed with diabetes, high blood pressure, you may be a smoker, and then you experience pain in your legs or pain in your hands. But most people, and most people that I have seen, they usually get what we call intermittent claudication. And that claudication, or that big term, actually just means a muscle cramp or muscle pain in the legs or arms that kind of occurs with activities, but it goes away with rest. So some people may find that they can only walk certain distances and their legs start to hurt, or it starts to cramp up and they need to take a seat or they need to take a rest because it is hurting so badly. And I know that a lot of the listeners that are tuning in today, they will understand what I'm talking about, especially if they have those risk factors and they don't understand why my legs are hurting. Because I feel like we're always taught about the chest pain when we're getting a heart attack, but we don't really stress on when you're a smoker or when you have diabetes or high blood pressure. But it is something that is very important, because some people may not even experience the leg pain alone. Some people may just get numbness in the leg or weakness. They're not moving the legs as much. And for some people, their legs may actually feel cold. So they're wondering why one leg is feeling colder than the other. And they're actually experiencing this narrowing of the arteries, or some people may even get clots in the arteries of the leg. And if you are also experiencing sores that are not healing, remember it is important for our blood to be flowing through our legs so that all the factors that are needed for wound healing can get to the places that are necessary. But if you are having blood not being able to go to certain places, your sores or your cuts will not heal. And even more so if you are suffering with things like diabetes or high blood pressure, which are already affecting the arteries of the leg. And if you are even experiencing a change in the color of your leg, this is something that you need to take seriously. Even things as little as hair loss, or you're not noticing hair growing on certain parts of your leg, or if you're noticing that your pulses on your leg, some people actually do check their pulses. And this is why it is important to go to the doctor, because we teach you how to check for certain pulses on your leg, especially if you're diabetic, especially if you have high blood pressure and you're a smoker. It is important to check your pulses just to make sure that your leg is okay and you're getting circulation. So these are some of the most common symptoms, and people may bypass it every day, thinking that, oh, this is nothing too serious, because we tend to take things in our chest more seriously when we are looking at things like heart attack or chest pain or even stroke even. But when we reach to the legs or the arms, we don't take it as seriously as we do other parts of our bodies. But it is something that we have to take into consideration, especially if you have those risk factors that I mentioned.
All right. So this is something serious that could even lead to amputation if you don't take it seriously.
Yes, it is. It is something. And the complications, they get very bad. So remember we talk about how diabetics, they are the number one group that has non-traumatic amputations. So if you're a diabetic, it is important to take care of your sugar levels, etc., because this can lead to amputation. But if you have peripheral arterial disease and it gets so severe that it causes a clot in the leg, then you're not getting any type of circulation or oxygen going to certain parts of your leg. So your leg is going to essentially die. And this is why it's important to catch these things very early, because we don't want it to reach to that point. So some people may stay home with their leg numbness or their weakness or their coldness in their leg and may think, well, it may pass, but it can get very complicated very quickly.
Oh, that is something. I did notice that on someone this weekend, or somebody brought it to my attention. You know, women always look at women, and then a friend of mine was showing me that it looked like a blood clot on the person's leg down by the ankle, that there was just this dark spot kind of sticking out, this big dark spot kind of sticking out. It looked like a blood clot or something.
It is very important when you see changes in the color of your leg to get it checked out, because your leg, when we have necrosis or dead tissue, it tends to turn dark. It tends to turn black. And not every dark spot on your leg is necrosis. And I will put that out there. But it is very important, especially if you have risk factors, it is important to go and get your legs checked out all the time. And when I say all the time, I mean like go to your regular doctor visits. So every 6 months, every year, definitely something that you do need to go and get checked out. And we always say for diabetics, especially, you need to go and get a foot assessment every year, because you can have wounds that are not healing. You can have ulcers that are not healing and you don't even know. So that in combination with peripheral arterial disease puts you at risk for very serious complications and even amputation at a point.
Lunchtime Doctor, right here on Freedom 106.5 FM, Sky 99.5 and Sangeet 106.1, where we're talking today, of course, about peripheral arterial disease. Dr. Brittany Dean, she's on Zoom today. So as we continue our discussion, we always like to differentiate with the genders. Oh, we do have a call coming in there, so let's take this call, Doc. Hello, good afternoon. Hello?
Hello, good afternoon, Mr. Bass.
Yes, sir.
Good afternoon.
And good afternoon to the doctor. Very, very important subject you are discussing, peripheral arterial disease. Very, very important.
Mm-hmm.
But allow me, please, Doc, I just wanted to ask you this thing about, you know, long ago they used to talk about clean out. Well, the people nowadays they say detox and all. What is detox and if it, how relevant it is and how it should be done? How can you advise? I mean, naturally, you know? And of course, the peripheral arterial disease, you know, various health officials in the public have been warning and talking to us about exercise and physical activities and these things are so very, very... Nowadays, everybody sit down on their phone, everybody sit down on their couch, everybody sit down. People, as somebody was saying, if you drive around in the afternoon, all our playgrounds and playing fields are empty. You're not seeing
empty
activities.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. People are playing football and small goal and cricket and running and jumping and climbing trees at the young ones, and bicycles not selling like before. I mean, we got to wake up these people. So I want to hear that, and if you can give me some advice on this thing we talk about detox, you know, we have a lot of acid problems because of diet, et cetera, et cetera, and all these kinds of things. So thank you much for your program.
Okay. You're welcome. Thank you for calling in. Yes, so this caller, he had a very good point to make about peripheral arterial disease, but just to address his first question, when we're talking about detoxing, of course, the liver is that organ in our body that detoxes. And yes, we know there are certain teas, etc., that is on the market for detoxing. There are some of them that I do not recommend you taking because they make you lose excessive weight, and that is not healthy, especially in a short frame of time. In terms of detoxing, it's always important to do things that are anti-inflammatory to the body, because remember we said inflammation is the cause of most diseases. So very little things that you can do on a morning is drinking ginger tea, adding a little bit of cayenne pepper. All these things have anti-inflammatory properties. And then you want to include antioxidants into your diet as well. Green leafy vegetables, any type of citric fruit or even small things like blueberries, which is, it's not really accessible in Trinidad. I find blueberries to be very expensive down here. But I mean, if you do have access to that, they are actually considered a superfood. Even just simple things like drinking enough water on a daily basis. And when I say enough water for you, because everybody is going to have a different level of activity, a different level of water intake, etc. But I always recommend at least 8 glasses of water a day, at least 1.5 to 2 liters of water a day. And all these things will help your body to actually have a proper type of metabolism and to also just keep it in check on a daily basis. So detoxing does not have to be something very extreme where you need to take certain teas, you need to take this, you need to take that. And there are teas out on the market that are okay in terms of your liver function, etc. And these things contain very good compounds. So like I was saying, the cayenne peppers, all these things have those anti-inflammatory compounds in them. But when you go into things that make you actually lose a lot of weight, then you're getting into a territory that is very, very harmful to your health. But to address his other question, where he spoke about peripheral arterial disease and how it is important for us to have that physical activity, he's completely right. Because, of course, we are always seeing, especially on this show, I'm very big on preventative medicine. It is important to get your diet and your exercise in check. And we're seeing that not only for diseases that affect the leg, but diseases that are affecting the heart, the brain, every single thing. Your diet and your exercise becomes the staple piece in every single disease that we are treating. So it is important to get our exercise in check. And later on in the show, I will give some recommendations on the exercises that we should be doing on a daily basis and the diet that we should be having on a daily basis as well.
All right, definitely. So I was about to ask you, what are the major differences with the PAD between men and women?
Well, what I would say is that peripheral arterial disease is slightly more common in men than women. And we always say that, you know, at a certain age or before menopause, estrogen protects us and it protects our arteries from getting this type of inflammation that men don't have, that men experience. And that's because, of course, men don't have estrogen. But when we pass menopause, then the playing field becomes sort of level there. So this is why it is very important for us, not as women, not to just take care of ourselves only after menopause, but also to be healthy before menopause as well. Because yes, after menopause, the playing field sort of levels. But if we were not taking care of our bodies prior to menopause, then we can get ourselves in a lot of trouble in terms of how our body reacts after menopause, and we don't have that protective factor anymore. While it is slightly more common in men, women tend to experience a little bit of different symptoms than men, and they may actually be diagnosed later because we sort of miss these symptoms in women. And we would more than likely get these non-classical symptoms in women, especially if women are diagnosed with high blood pressure, diabetes. They need to look out for things like fatigue or generalized pain rather than the typical leg pain that will be seen in men. And of course, these variations or these differences, we always attribute them to our hormonal differences as well. And women tend to have a bit of smaller blood vessels than men. And this is why we may have a variation in the symptoms or the way that we present. So yes, it can be different in women and men. But when you actually see how it manifests, it's usually the same in both of us.
Okay, folks, once again, you listen to the Lunchtime Doctor, Dr. Brittany Dean, 627-3223, 625-2257, WhatsApp 306-1020. 6-5, talking about, of course, peripheral arterial disease, right? And what are the potential complications of PAD if left untreated? Well, I mentioned once what I...
So, yeah, we touched on it a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
But what can happen is that if we do not catch peripheral arterial disease early, or if we are not able to treat it, the severe complications would be things that we call critical limb ischemia, where the limb literally is starved of oxygen. So it becomes cold, it becomes colorless, meaning that it will lose all the color. And we have seen it before, and I have actually operated on patients with these type of problems. And it's really not nice, because some people experience very extreme pain. It's a pain that you can't really describe. And you don't want to end up in that sort of situation, because when you get to a point of critical limb ischemia, you'll have something like a severe blockage in the arteries, and these can lead to sores, infections. And what happens after we cannot treat these with antibiotics, or if we are not getting oxygen to the leg as we should, then it gets to the point where we have to actually amputate the leg. And it also, peripheral arterial disease, while yes, we are seeing the risk factors are the same for heart disease, it actually significantly increases the risk of the person getting a heart attack or a stroke. Mm-hmm. So if you are diagnosed with peripheral arterial disease, it is crucial for you to make a change in the way that you are approaching your disease in terms of your diet, your exercise, and managing all your pharmaceuticals as well.
Nice. We have a call on the line. Hello, good afternoon.
Yeah, thanks for the info. Base boy, doc. Okay, my neighbor here is very concerned about turmeric. Mm-hmm. Now, turmeric, uses turmeric and garlic before breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
And what's happening is he doesn't know how much to use and for how long. Because I recently was on YouTube searching for help certain things, and I see where if you use turmeric too often, it could damage mm-hmm. your liver. I don't know what mm-hmm. you can use on it, but we'll listen off here, and thanks for the info, Doc.
No problem. So turmeric is one of those things we see a lot of people using, but when usually the cases that we would see it in is young girls using turmeric and getting something called menorrhagia, which is heavy menstrual bleeding. So it is known to actually make you bleed a little more or sort of thin your blood in simpler terms. But in terms of your liver, I actually cannot speak on that. I'm not too sure in terms of if you are using too much of anything, remember I said prior, the liver is that organ which detoxifies the body. So if you're using too much of it in too little space of time, yes, I can see it damaging the liver or causing some sort of problem to the liver. So what I would say is that it is always important to consult with your doctor before starting or before using anything that you are not sure of. Garlic is fine. We use garlic on a daily basis, but turmeric is known to interact with certain medications as well. So I'm not too sure what your neighbor has or if he's on any type of medication or if he is taking anything other than anything natural. So it is important for him to go to his doctor, find out what he's taking, and also mentioned to his doctor he would like to take turmeric. It does have anti-inflammatory properties, but taking it in a large amount or in large doses for anything, like I said before, can be a bit fatal to any of your organs.
Take a break. Let's take one more call. Hello?
Yeah, sorry to call back.
Mm-hmm.
His LDL is 281. Yeah, thanks a lot.
Okay, and what is his HDL?
72.
Okay, all right.
Mm-hmm.
So, no problem. Mm-hmm. So when we're talking about LDL and HDL, LDL is the cholesterol or low-density lipoprotein. It is the cholesterol that we talk about that is bad or bad cholesterol. And our HDL is our high-density lipoprotein or the good cholesterol. Now, when we're talking about high cholesterol, he said the LDL was two something. So that means that his LDL is a bit high, and but his HDL is 72, which is also high, which is good. Now, when your LDL itself is high, that is not a good thing. That means that your cholesterol is a bit high, and that is the bad cholesterol. So that means that you may be suffering, or your neighbor may be suffering from high cholesterol. But again, this is dependent on the lab and what their ranges are. So once I know the range of the lab, then I can actually tell you, okay, well, he may be having to take certain medications, or this is what his diet should look like, etc. But I can just break it down that LDL is the bad cholesterol and HDL is the good cholesterol. Once HDL is over 60, that is good. You know, once you have an over 60 range, that is good. That is protective of your arteries, etc. But once your LDL is over a certain figure, then you're going into the range of high cholesterol, and it becomes a risk factor for diseases like heart attacks, strokes, peripheral arterial disease even. So that is what I can say on your topic.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio, Freedom 106.5.
Hi, folks. Thank you to our sponsors there. You're listening to The Lunchtime Doctor as we continue to talk about the peripheral arterial disease, right? So what might PAD, well, we talked about the difference in men and women and the potential complications of PAD if left untreated. But how does PAD impact one's overall health and quality of life?
So when we're talking about PAD, I would say that a lot of the patients that I have seen, it really does severely impact them. And it's not just, you know, your legs are hurting when you walk, and it's not just your legs are numb. Remember that you have all these risk factors, and it's not really just your legs that are feeling the brunt of these diseases. It is other parts of your body as well. But if you are not able to mobilize properly, if you're not able to walk properly, if you're not able to have your independence because of this pain and discomfort, this would lead to a host of different complications, and it can even go into your mental and emotional health as well. But you will have a decrease in your physical activity because, I mean, I know for myself, if my legs are hurting, I don't want to go and walk around, or I don't want to go and run around because I don't want to make it worse. And this can, if you don't have this physical activity on a daily basis, or if every day you're missing out on doing some sort of exercise or some sort of physical activity, it is going to worsen other health conditions as well. Because as we are seeing, as we go along, diet and exercise becomes a very part or plays a very important role in every single aspect of our health. And like I mentioned, it will cause an emotional stressor, and it will cause some sort of significant mental stress as well. And your overall quality of life, and even with the patients that I've seen, their overall quality of life diminishes because of the chronic nature of the disease itself and its symptoms. Because like I said, if it is left untreated, it will become complicated. There's no if, ands, or buts. If you do not address the problem, it is going to worsen over time. So this is why I'm saying, and I'm stressing, that it's so important, if you do experience any of these symptoms on a daily basis, and if you do have the risk factors that I mentioned, it is always important to go and get yourself checked out. And even if it's not for the peripheral arterial disease, for any of the other complications that can manifest from the other diseases that you are diagnosed with as well.
Definitely, boy. You know, when listening to this, it makes me feel happy that I walk, I park my car, and I walk to and from work every day. I could go right there in the car park right there. St. Vincent Street, walk in, take the elevator, but I choose to walk to and from work every day. And sometimes I see people taking a taxi right there on Park Street to go right to Independence Square when you could just walk.
Wow.
Take a walk.
No, you see, that is very good. Because even these small changes that we do in our daily life, like just walking from our car or taking the stairs even, these little changes can help bigger changes in our life. But starting small, and I always say, always start small so that you can be consistent, because it's the consistency that matters. It's not the one day I'm going to go all out and exercise, and then the next day I'm too tired to exercise. It's not that. That is not going to work for you. It is that consistent workout every single day, even if it's something as small as walking from your car to your office, mm-hmm. or walking up the stairs instead of taking the elevator.
Yeah, should be encouraged. All right, we have a mm-hmm. question here from somebody from away. Hi, Doug, listening to your program from abroad. I have a flu and cough, no fever for the past few weeks now. I was given cough syrup and nasal spray, mm-hmm. but this doesn't seem to work. So I went back to my doctor and asked him to give me antibiotics. So I was given
amoxicillin
yeah. capsule, 500 milligrams to use 3 times per day for 7 days.
Mm-hmm.
What is your take in using antibiotics and how it would affect my liver?
So what I would say is this. Sometimes antibiotics are warranted for certain situations, and antibiotics are used for bacterial infections. And when I say bacterial infections, we usually make a discrepancy based on your blood tests, based on your white blood cells, and all these things go into detail. So us as doctors, we know, okay, if this certain cell is up, it's more than likely a bacterial infection. If you do not have a fever, it's more than likely not a bacterial infection, because when we do see bacterial infections, they usually come with some sign of infection, meaning a fever, vomiting, diarrhea, all those type of things. And that's when we can say, okay, well, this more than likely warrants antibiotics. If you're having some sort of cough or some sort of upper respiratory tract infection, we usually attribute those to viruses, and it's not very smart to treat a virus with antibiotics, because antibiotics are made for bacteria. So you don't treat a virus with antibiotics. Now, my take on that, or if it can hurt your liver, there are certain things that if you take in excess, yes, it can hurt your liver. And there are certain things, well, no, it's not metabolized by the liver, so it's not going to hurt your liver. So depending on what you are taking, yes, there are certain medications that can harm your liver. But if you are taking it in the correct doses for the correct amount of time, then it has been proven that, no, this amount is not going to harm your liver. And that's why there are certain indications on even the over-the-counter medications. Do not take or do not exceed this dose per day, because the ramifications are it will be harmful to your liver. So I'm not too sure what this person may have or what tests they would have performed, or if the doctor did a test and they saw some sort of indication of a bacterial infection to give her antibiotics or to give him antibiotics. So, I mean, that is my take on it. Antibiotics are not used to treat viral infections. And if we do have upper respiratory tract infections, more than likely, if it is not complicated, it's caused by a virus.
All right, great. Another question here. I want to know if you have seen any cases of, wow, this is a long word, cholangiocarcinoma.
Oh. Cholangiocarcinoma.
Carcinoma, yes, carcinoma. Mm-hmm. All right, yes. In Trinidad. And if you can elaborate a little on this disease that a friend of mine has.
So when we're talking about carcinomas, we are usually referring to cancers. So cholangiocarcinoma, it is what we call a bile duct cancer, and it is very rare and aggressive. I'm trying to think back to see if I've actually seen any of these cases when I was in surgery. And I don't think I've actually seen any of these cases. We would see more pancreatic cancer, or we would see more of a stone in the bile ducts, etc. But like I said, it is a very rare cancer. It's very aggressive. And it arises out of certain cells in the bile ducts in itself. Some people who experience cholangiocarcinoma, their symptoms may be very vague, and sometimes it may be diagnosed very late. That's because their symptoms are not very they're not very specific. So they may get things like jaundice, and that's the yellowing of the skin and the hands, and they may get itching, dark urine, and pale stools, and even abdominal pain. And of course, with cancers, you do get that unexplained weight loss, fever, fatigue, loss of appetite. And the causes or risk factors, they are numerous. And what I would say is, I don't know what your friend's situation is. So I don't know how they identified it, or what they did, or what tests they did. But it really is one of those very rare cancers. And of course, the treatment options would depend on the stage of the cancer and the location of the cancer as well. More than likely, they may opt for surgery, because that is the primary treatment if it is localized, and they would remove the tumor surrounding any of the healthy tissue, and then they may do some radiation or chemotherapy. And they also have medications that can target the cholangiocarcinoma as well. But it really depends on if the cancer has metastasized, etc. So I can't really speak on your friend's case in particular, because each cancer case is different and will have different treatment regimes.
Another question coming in here. Apple cider vinegar, is it good to drink every day for high blood pressure? A 45-year-old female.
So I do know of a lot of people who swear by apple cider vinegar, and there's no real evidence to say that it does help with blood pressure, but people do like to drink the apple cider vinegar every day, because it is a natural way to make your body feel healthy. But there's no real evidence to suggest that it will help with your blood pressure. What will help with your blood pressure is proper diet and exercise, and if you are on medication, being compliant with the medication as well. So, yes, you can take your apple cider vinegar. In terms of taking it every day, I don't see any issue with taking it every day once it is not affecting the medications that you are taking in any type of way.
All right, another final question here from a friend in New York. They say the H5N1, as a new virus, is going around, making COVID look small. Are you familiar with it?
The H5N1. So this is the first I am hearing of this H5N1. Well, that is actually, remember, we have flus every year. So we have the H5N1, which is an influenza type A, but the reason we have to get flu vaccinations every year is because these things mutate. And the flu that we had last year is not the same one that we will have this year. So these things tend to mutate all the time. And for some people, it may just be a regular flu and we can bypass it because our immune system is okay. But if you have a compromised immune system, then it gets to a point where a simple flu or the common cold, these things can be detrimental to your health. So I'm not too familiar with this new strain yet, but the H5N1 or the avian influenza type A, it's a flu that does go around and it does mutate. So I'm not too sure any type of new mutation.
All right. Okay. As we continue, just a short break here. LSA Healthcare Services Limited is that commercial hygiene service provider. LSA's goal is to change the culture of hygiene by educating their clients about hygiene solutions for all spaces. Hygiene is essential for all organizations, staff, and customers' well-being. Is your business committed to high standards of hygiene? Check them out for the latest innovation in hands-free sanitary bins, hand-washing solutions, odor control systems, hand towel and jumbo toilet paper dispensers, sanitizing dispensers, janitorial cleaning, and fogging sanitizations. So contact LSA Healthcare at 675-3466 for a free assessment. Visit their website at lsahealthcare.com and social media pages on Facebook, IG, and LinkedIn. LSA Healthcare Services Limited, your partner in hygiene solutions. 6 minutes away from 1 o'clock as we continue our discussion on PAD, the peripheral arterial disease. We talked about the role of exercise and dieting managing PAD symptoms. Are there any new emergent treatments of PAD that listeners should be aware of?
Now we're going into the actual treatment instead of the, well, of course, at this point, you're already diagnosed with peripheral arterial disease. You're already diagnosed with ischemia, probably in the leg. There are new advancements. So there are actually balloons that can be placed to stent the arteries in the leg. And these things are actually covered with certain medications or drugs to keep the arteries open. And they reduce any type of restenosis. And restenosis is basically the closing of those blood vessels again. So it definitely is something that is emerging, something that we are seeing coming out now. I'm not too sure if we have it yet in Trinidad, but I definitely feel that it is something that is necessary, and it really will help in terms of lowering any type of amputation rate. The research is also exploring the use of stem cells. So we did mention stem cells once or twice on the show on regenerative medicine. So they're trying to see if they can promote new blood vessel growth, improve circulation, all these different things. So it is emerging research. It is new. But remember, we always try to practice evidence-based medicine. So while it's emerging, we still have to wait a few years for all the evidence to come out, for all the tests to be done, so that we can say to our patients, yes, we can recommend this for you now. But these things are in the works, and I think it's very interesting. And I mean, I do have patients who love to hear about these things as well. But before this, or prior to all of this, I do want to stress on the importance of your daily life in preventing peripheral arterial disease. And this is especially important for those patients who are suffering with diabetes or high blood pressure, or even those that are smokers. So first of all, first thing you need to do is stop smoking. Smoking really is detrimental to not just your lungs, or to not just causing heart attacks, etc., but we're seeing it more in persons who are being diagnosed with peripheral arterial disease as well. So stopping smoking, exercising, and we always recommend 120 minutes of moderate intensity exercise. And these things would be like running, walking, cycling, even swimming, water aerobics. Anything to get your heart rate up a little bit definitely is going to be beneficial to your circulatory system, or that system in your body where the blood passes through. And even if you cannot get that 120 minutes in, what I would say is what Bae said, if you are walking from your car to your office, try to make that trek. Try to get at least 10 minutes in. So, you know, before work or after work, 10 minutes of walking per day just to start off. So anything that you can do to get yourself off of the chair, or to get yourself out of, you know, living a sedentary lifestyle. And of course, your diet needs to complement your exercising as well. So you can't just be exercising and your diet is not showing that I want to live a healthy lifestyle. Your diet needs to be balanced. Of course, things like your protein, your green leafy vegetables, things with high amounts of antioxidants to help prevent any type of inflammation. And of course, your omega-3 fatty acids. You can get it in capsules, you can get it in fish, and yes, you in tin fish, etc., it will be a small amount, but at least it is something. All right. So definitely it is important for your diet and exercise to be on point when you're managing lifestyle diseases such as this.
Yeah, we do have a question here that may be related to the topic. Good day, doctor. 50-year-old female. My feet goes numb and cramps a lot. Numbness will be when I'm on the toilet. It's like I'm walking on thin air until it goes away. Can you tell me what's happening, please? Thank you.
Right. And we have 30 seconds. This, we will definitely need a medical history. Is this patient diabetic? Does she have high blood pressure? If she's diabetic, then we can look at things at, like diabetic neuropathy, where you get sucking sensations in your hands and your foot. You feel that tingling sensation in your feet or your legs because you're losing control of the nerves within your legs, or for some people it's in their hands. And do you have high blood pressure? Do you get pain when you're walking? We can't give a full diagnosis because it can be a range of different things based on a symptom. So this is why you can't just take a symptom in isolation. You need to have a symptom with the rest of the story, because if you take something in isolation, you will treat for something completely different, not knowing that this person is suffering with something else. And that can be very detrimental to the patient. Mm-hmm. So you definitely need to go and get it checked out by your doctor and ensure that they have a full medical history and do a full examination on you, especially if it is something that is affecting you every day.
All right, Doc, our time is up. And remember, folks, on June the 4th and 5th, we'll be carrying cricket here on Freedom 106.5 FM. So look out for the lunchtime, Doctor, those days at 2 p.m. Thank you very much, Dr. Brittany Dean. Catch you tomorrow.
Okay, see you then. Bye-bye.
All right, folks, you've been listening to the Lunchtime Doctor right here on Freedom 106.5 FM, Sky 99.5, and Sangit 106.1. Do enjoy the rest of your day and take care of your health.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio, Freedom 106.5.